Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you look inside your bulletin, you'll see the sermon title listed for today is 23 Minutes in Hell. Please note that that does not refer to the length of my sermon. That would be at least 25 to 27 minutes in hell. 23 Minutes in Hell is actually a book I recently read by a man named Bill Weiss, who claimed that God sent him to hell. That title intrigued me, and so I read the book. Now, there have been lots of books out there written about people who supposedly saw heaven. But what attracted me to Bill's book is this novel claim that on November 22nd of 1998, God transported him to hell and back. Bill painstakingly describes this demonic realm with literal fire and torturous screams from human beings who are being punished there forever. And he says that though it felt like an eternity, his time in hell only lasted less than half an hour, or 23 minutes, from 3 a.m. to 3:23 a.m. to be exact. Now, Bill is a Christian. He believes that God made him an eyewitness to the existence of hell. And he now goes around talking about that experience, usually in churches. Bill realizes that many churchgoers are offended by the very suggestion that there is an actual place of eternal punishment complete with fire. You know, hell just doesn't fit into the modern conception that society has of God. Even many modern Christians are confused because they have been taught to believe that God is all love and no law. And so Bill would describe his journey to the horrors of hell and back in meticulous detail in an effort to convince doubters that hell is a real place. Listen to what Bill says in his own words. He says, "The reason I was shown this place was to bring back a message of warning. My story is not to condemn, but to inform. To inform you that hell is a real place, that it does exist. God's desire is that no one goes there. But the sad and simple fact is that people make the choice to go to hell every day." I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed after reading the book, and I do have my doubts that Bill actually went to hell. Do you want to know why? Because the Bible's description of hell as a place of everlasting torment is actually a whole lot worse than what Bill describes. Whether Bill did or didn't go to hell really is immaterial. What is important is that his story allows us to open a discussion about a topic that for too long we have tried to evade. You know, hell is not an easy or popular message to preach on. Years ago, sermons on the subject of hell were considered normal. They were expected within all Christian denominations. But the topic of hell is no longer acceptable in religiously correct churches. Hell is considered too hot a topic to handle, if you will excuse the pun. The idea that a person could spend an eternity in hell seems to have been deleted from the message of the church, along with many other teachings that offend modern sensibilities. There are churches who still believe in hell, but they certainly don't advertise it. Hell is considered too negative for most preachers who are trying to grow their churches, and they certainly don't want to scare people away. But not so with John the Baptizer. John was like God's hammer, sent to break into tiny pieces all human sinful pride. God sent John to destroy any spiritual presumption that God somehow owes us heaven or ought to save us. And so God assigned John the task of preaching the law in a way that would crumble our self-justifying defenses so that we would confess our unworthiness of heaven. God wanted John to crush any false security we might be holding on to that would suggest that we are God's children no matter how we live or what we think or do or say. Because just because we say we are Christians, of course, doesn't make us Christians. John would say, "You will know a tree by its fruits." And so God's message to us is that heaven is unattainable for sinners without repentance and faith in Christ. Now, to accomplish this, John spared no one. John knew that every one of us has sinned and has fallen short of God's holy and righteous expectations for his people. Contrary to what most of us believe about ourselves, our sinfulness really makes us far better suited for hell than it does heaven. You might say John was an equal opportunity offender when it came to convicting people of their sins and warning them about the realities of hell. In today's gospel, listen to John the Baptizer as he chastises the self-righteous Pharisees and the sanctimonious Sadducees. I've paraphrased a little, but here's what John says. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Do not presume that you will be spared by God just because you are biologically related to Abraham. Why, God can turn these stones into children of Abraham if he wants more children. In fact, God would probably find it easier to turn these stones into children than to turn your stony hearts back to him. If you are counting on your family tree to save you, just remember that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's the way John preached. John's message was like his appearance. It was raw and rigid. His vernacular was like his veneer. It was strict. It was stern. John's message was simple and straightforward. Here's another sample of John's preaching that I think you would be likely to hear if he were standing in this pulpit. I think he would say it very simply: God hates sin. In fact, God hates people who commit sin. God also is just and will punish sinners if they don't repent of sin. Repent then and be baptized. But at the same time, God also loves sinners and wants to save them. And that is why God sent his Son to be punished in our place. Believe in the coming Christ, for he is the only one who can save you from your sins. Or else suffer the unquenchable fire when the Lord returns for judgment. Wow. Pretty harsh. And yet, strangely enough, somehow that message was refreshingly honest. It was biblically convincing, and people were actually drawn to it. John the Baptizer attracted a huge congregation of believers in spite of the fact of what we would call negative content. I mean, there were people just pouring and streaming in from Jerusalem and all Judea and the surrounding countryside of the Jordan being baptized by John and confessing their sins. Listen to John's message to the gathering crowds concerning Christ. He says of Jesus, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And now keep this in mind and listen to these words from Jesus later in Matthew. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. For the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom and everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, my point is, from these statements, it's pretty plain to see that both our Lord Jesus and John the Baptizer obviously believe that hell is a real, literal place of fiery punishment. And so why shouldn't we? If people don't believe in hell, is it because hell doesn't exist, or is it just because they do not want it to exist? In a way, I can't blame them. Hell is a frightening place. It's hard to fathom the physical agonies of hell that last forever. We find it hard to comprehend the loneliness of being forever cut off and separated from others and from God. And if you die and go to hell, there are no second chances. Once you're there, you're always there. And perhaps what will burn even more in hell than bodies is a smoldering conscience. As people think of the regret and the remorse of knowing that if only they had believed in the message of the gospel, if only they had believed that Jesus was their Savior, they could have been spared from all of this. But instead of people seeing themselves as the monsters, they think that any description of Christianity that includes hell makes God a monster and makes those of us who teach hell unloving and uncaring. They ask, why should God be so cruel as to create such a place? And I'd like you to think about that. How would you answer a person who said such a thing? Here's how I would answer such a person. I would say, first, God hasn't sent you to hell yet, has he? God would be mean if he didn't warn you about hell. The purpose of preaching and teaching about hell, I admit, on the surface seems unloving and harsh. But actually, to tell you about the existence of hell before it's too late, and while something can still be done about it, is both loving and merciful on the part of God. For just like John the Baptizer, God wants me to warn you in advance about hell so that you don't end up there. Preaching about hell is intended to keep you out of hell, not to put you there. Preaching about sin, death, and hell, in fact, is a prelude to the gospel. It makes the gospel which saves us from hell that much more meaningful. For how can you truly appreciate the Savior unless you understand what he saves you from? God wants us to first understand the judgment we deserve before he tells us about the mercy that he so freely offers and bestows upon us in the gospel. Just think about it rationally. Why would Jesus Christ go to all the effort to become incarnate of the Virgin Mary and to die on a cross to save us if we have no sin and if there is no death and if hell is not a real place to be saved from? No wonder we balk at the concept of hell. Much of society, and even many of us, have forgotten one thing. We are horrible sinners. We deserve this place. It's only when we come to that realization that we really are people who have rebelled against God and are fully deserving of the punishments of hell, that we're ready to receive the good news. The fact that Jesus has already suffered hell in our place in order to spare us from that destiny. Through faith in Jesus, we believe that we cannot be punished again for those sins because Christ was already punished for us. And so we believe in Jesus. Anyway, I hope this sermon didn't put you through hell. It was really intended only to get you to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.